Adiós.
Hello, Batya. This is Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. I hope we're going to have a
No, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning, all. Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, Hanok. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Letters of the month of Shvat Bratsadi that created the constellation belief, the Aquarian, and the Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. One of the ways to translate those two letters is the house of righteousness. And they represent the unity of the physical and the spiritual world, similar to the Gematria of 91, which was also 92 with the Kolel. Kabel Rina. Om Sasante Sahare. Nagibor Yud-Kaf-Shin. The sequence Yud-Kaf-Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then return it to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was created to do. Barchem tacharem yachamim tacharem that connect this to the energy of last year. which is an energy we don't want to lose since it was not completed. We only did the southern borders of Israel. We want to also include the northern borders and the eastern borders, although the eastern borders have been fairly quiet for many, many years. But we would like this verse to manifest in its wholeness, in its completeness, in its shalem, shalom. And this verse is Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shacham tachta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto ka'asher barishona. And we have three verses that connect us to the energy of this year of Shin, Ayin, He. And these three verses help us forget, see past the illusion of the cause of death in the physical world, that of the angel of death. He is an illusion. He's there and he's not there. He's there for those who want to see him. He's not there for those who have the certainty that he's not there. And by saying these three verses, we strengthen that certainty. There are other techniques to strengthen that certainty as well. First of these three verses is Job chapter 7, verse 19, which has the name of the year within it. That represents a word of vision, our being able to see past the illusion, our being able to see through the illusion. Kamalo tishemi meni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. The second of the three verses is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol ha-machavoiya asher yitzabe sham ushavtem elai el nachon v'halachti itzem. And the third verse is again from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kigelo lanetza yovedo ro. Yomru Ayo. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. We are reading the Zohar from section 1, verse 1, or Pasuk 1, from the Parasha of Truma. Hashem Yehud Kutshabarifu Shkintebi Kilu or Kimu Utsilu Urhu Utsilu Lelakta Hashem Yud Kevav Avke. When we say this, the Hashem Yehud phrases and prayer and statement, we are realigning our consciousness so that we are also in the mental frame, psychological state of unification with the Yud and the He, the Vav and the He, the Shekhinah and Zeranpin, with the male and the female, with the unity of all things and recognizing there is Hashem and there is nothing else. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber el Bnei Yisrael, vayichu li teruma me'et kol ish asher yidbenu libo v'gomer. Rabbi Tia patach ki Yaakov bachar lo ya Yisrael liskulato kama chavivin Yisrael kame kudsha barichu itrei behu uva li'ita beka behu li'itkashra imchon ve'aved lechon ama yehidai be'alma diktiv mike'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aret ve'inun itru be'yah ve'itkashran be'yah ha'ibiktif ki yako bachar lo ya. Uktiv ki chelek Hashem amo v'yahav lishar amin shul tanin rav revan me'manan alayhu v'hu natir lehu lakeya Yisrael. And Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering of every man whose heart prompts him. Rabbi Chia opened the discussion, saying, for Yah has chosen Jacob to himself, Israel for his peculiar possession. And I would point out to you, if you don't go look at the Hebrew of this verse from Psalms 135, 4, chapter 135, verse 4, the word for peculiar or peculiar possession is the same word that is translated in the Tanakh as segol, chosen. The corrupted translation of chosen, as we have been taught in the Kabbalah. The word segol has no meaning. It has much meaning by looking at the letters, but it has no translatable meaning because it's the color purple. It's the vowel with three dots. It represents the three-column system of spirituality, a mechanism called the Tree of Life. For Yah has chosen Jacob to himself, Israel, for his three-column system. How beloved are Israel before the Holy One, blessed be He, who desires them and wants to be attached to them, and connect himself with them to make them a single nation in the world, as it is written. And what one nation in the world is like your people Israel. They wanted him and were attached to him, as it says, for Yah has chosen Jacob to himself, and for Hashem's portion is his people. He gave ministers and officers to the other nations, and he took Israel to his part. This verse explains through its hinting an amazing piece of information. When you live in the land of Israel, then you receive your sustenance, you receive your spiritual energy directly from the Creator, Hashem. When you live in exile from the land of Israel, you receive that sustenance not from directly from Hashem, but from the angelic chieftain in charge of that land, of that people. One of the 70 angels, angelic ministers. What's the difference? The energy is the same, isn't it? And the answer is, if you have a rusty pipe or a clean pipe that was just installed, and you drink from the rusty pipe, does the water taste as pure, as clean, as clear? It's still healthy. Your body can handle the effluent rust. But it doesn't taste as clear. It's not the same. Now, and this has to be very clearly understood, is this discussion speaking about the physical land of Israel or the spiritual consciousness of living in the land of Israel? Does anyone have any questions? I would like to mention some dates before we start our class. One date is the new moon of Rosh Chodesh Adar, which according to the Western calendar, the Western astrological system, will take place on Wednesday. And that's the time that we announced as well this past Shabbat. We announced the time of the new moon of being Wednesday, the 11th of February. But it was during the nighttime of the 11th. And we need 24 hours of the energy of Rosh Chodesh. So when the new moon comes in the evening, we end up with 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. And in this period, it's the 30th of Shabbat, which is Rosh Chodesh Adar on Thursday, the 19th. Excuse me, if I said the 11th of February, I meant the 18th of February. But Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph is the 19th of February, starting the evening of the 18th. And the second day is Friday, the 20th. Our Rosh Chodesh connection will take place Thursday evening at 7 p.m. And that is done purposely because the better energy, the clearer energy, the energy that's more direct comes through on the first day of Adar, which is not mixed at all with the 30th of Shabbat. Then there is a fast of Esther scheduled for March 4th. It's a sunrise to sunset fast. It's the evening or the day before Purim, which is Thursday, the 5th of March. And we'll announce the actual times of our connections, where we will read the Megillah as a community. And also we will have a reading on Shushan Purim, which is the 6th of March. We will explain that as we get closer to that, these particular days. The class tonight, or today, is rather lengthy because it includes two handouts. You can find the first handout, which we won't read at first, on the unique astrological events page, which you can find on any of the pages of the Hashem website. On the right, underneath the two pictures, you will find the unique astrological events link. When you click on that, scroll down to Shabbat Shekalim, which is just before Rosh Chodesh Adar, and click on two links there. One says Shabbat Shekalim, and the one underneath Rosh Chodesh Adar, the preparation for the holidays of Purim, Pesach, the Omer, and Shavuot. Click on those two links. When you open up the preparation for the holidays, I wish to point out to you that on that page you will find a description of the meditation to have an easy fast on the 4th of March, or the fast of Esther, which we will explain as part of that preparation. But the class that we will start to read today is the one that says preparation for Purim, Kabbalistic preparation for the spring and summer holiday, the first link underneath the easy fast meditation. So today we're going to start reading this link about Purim, and how the holidays of Purim, Pesach, the Omer, and Shavuot are really one period of time connected to each other, utilized by each other, if we understand their influences. And the other is the Shekalim, handout, which we will read as well. This class will prepare us for the time period from Purim to Pesach, through the Omer, and through to Shavuot. We will prepare ourselves on many levels, including the simple, Peshat, as well as the Sod, the secret levels. This is a series of classes, almost 12 classes, maybe 13 classes in length. The period covers many high-energy days, as well as lower-energy days, along with many regular-energy days. Knowing which ones are which is helpful in planning your life. These classes are designed to prepare our students for the spiritual connections associated with the following holidays and energy times. Zion Adar, which is the Hilulah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Zion Adar, I had left out of that list, but I should not have. Zion Adar, our connection will take place Wednesday night, the 6th of Adar, the 25th of February. It will be a long all-night study, depending on how long I can stay up and if I'm able to not disturb the people that I'm living with by being up that long. But in any event, it's usually a very well-received study, and I hope you'll join us. We have Shabbat Zachor and the Parasha of Tetzaveh. Shabbat Zachor is a special maftir that is always read with the Parasha of Tetzaveh. And Tetzaveh is unique as a parasha in that the name Moshe is never mentioned once. And that's very meaningful, as we will come to understand. The holiday of Purim. And then immediately we will start to study for the holiday of Pesach by following its halachot, its laws, its regulations, its suggestions. And included in those, in the preparation for Pesach, is rituals that can be accomplished on the first 14 days of Nisan that take control, Kabbalistic control, of the months of this new year that starts on the first day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We will come to understand the Seder and why it is called the Seder and what is it actually doing. We will come to understand the counting of the Omer and what is its purpose, and a deeper understanding of the holiday of Shavuot. This period takes 90 days. It commences with the seventh day of Adar, which is the evening of Motzi Shabbat. Actually, no, it's the evening that we mentioned already. And the date on this handout needs to be corrected. And it climaxes on the holiday of Shavuot. Which is also early in June. Each one of these 90 days are high energy days, some of which are higher than other days. Each one of these days is a positive day, providing you have the vessel to handle that much energy. And how do you create the vessel? How do you build the vessel to handle that energy is what this preparation is all about. The gift of the Torah, or Matan Torah, or Shavuot, is a return to the consciousness of Adam before the sin, before the fall. What was the condition of Adam before the fall? Adam was newly created. He was not an adult, but he was in an adult body. Adam was spiritually, relative to us, a giant. Yet, he made mistakes. Essentially, the gift of the Torah is the antidote to the angel of death. When we receive the Torah, and you'll notice I haven't said that we receive the Torah, because Shavuot is the gift of the Torah. The reception of the Torah is up to you, each individual human being. And it doesn't mean because you're observant. And it doesn't mean because you're doing mitzvot that you receive the Torah. You have to learn how to receive the Torah. And that is why the deeper levels of the Torah, the study of the Torah, is called Kabbalah, to receive. We are preparing you to receive the Torah, to remove the angel of death from your life. Certainly physical death, but death of businesses, death of relationships, ending of anything, because that is not God. God has no end. That's what the word end self means, without end. That's where we live. And we're bringing that perception into the physical world. That is what our job as human beings is. But we are not meant to remain a human being. We are meant to grow to be divine. Our sages teach that the effect of the sin is the introduction of the energy of death. So the essence of these 90 days is to prepare our vessels to remove death from our consciousness. This is expressed by the phrase, Bila Hamavet Lametza. Translation is swallowing up death forever. Doesn't mean that death will be eliminated. It means it will be swallowed. It will come inside of us where we can control it. This is something that people don't understand when they speak of the resurrection of the dead. When we swallow something, we conceal it. When we conceal something, we're in control of it. Right now, people die because they die. People die for a heart attack or cancer or diabetes. People have chaos for various reasons in their life. But ultimately, there's only one reason that death appears in this illusion. It's because we don't control this energy. We let it run free, uncontrolled. And we can learn to control it. This is where the Kabbalah sounds a little bit meshuggah, a little bit crazy. How can you control death? Come study with us for the next 12, 13, 14 weeks, and you'll learn. When we swallow something, we bring it into ourselves, just as the eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, by Adam and Eve brought selfishness into ourselves. When we swallow death, we will control the selfishness we will control the limitation called death. When we swallow something, we don't destroy it. We utilize it while we conceal it. The regular gematria of the word Bela is 112, which is the small gematria, 13. 112 is the unity of three levels of the names of God. Echie, Aleph He Yud He, Hashem, Yud He Vav He, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adonai. 65, 26, and 21. Total 112. And the small gematria hints to this because 13 means 1. The regular gematria of Hamavet is 451, which its small gematria is 19. These two numbers represent the unity of male and female. As the Hebrew calendar has 19 years in its cycle, the name Chava, life, has 19 in its gematria. And the male has 9 sephirot, while the female has 10, for a total of 19 sephirot. The regular gematria of Lenetzach is 178, while the small gematria hints to its truth as 18, meaning life. The total of these three words is 741. With the small gematria of 50, the 50 gates of wisdom. The word Amen, when using the final letter gematria, has a gematria of 741. As we know, the energy of the word Amen is the unification of the spiritual and physical worlds. You begin to see the truth and the benefit of gematria and how it hints to us these different aspects. An acronym for the four elements, Aleph, meaning air, Mem, meaning water, Shin, meaning fire, and Tav, meaning earth, also has a gematria of 741. Can also be broken down in, not broken down, but comes from the letters Shin Emet, Shemet, from truth, with truth, the passion for truth. We learn from these two gematriot relating to 741 that when we unify the spiritual and the physical worlds with all of the aspects of the four basic elements, water, fire, air, and earth, we actually swallow death forever, which brings us back to the consciousness of Adam before the sin. We also learn from the small gematria of 50 that this happens when we reach the level of Bina. Bina is a sephirah that is referred to as the energy store. Bina is also called mother. This level of consciousness is the antithesis of the end, the antithesis of death. In other words, when there is energy, there can be no death, no limitations. which is what we call death. Actually, death has always been an illusion created by the effect of the sin of Adam. And that is part of what we need. Actually, death has always been an illusion created by the effect of the sin of Adam. And that is part of what we need to prepare ourselves to receive, the knowledge that death and limitations are illusionary. We have to learn to know this truth. We're now going to change to the Shekalim page because this past Shabbat, yesterday, we read the special maftir, the shekelim, the donation of the shekelim. And that comes in the cycle prior to the seventh of Adar. Shabbat Shekalim is one of the four special Shabbatot leading up to the holiday of Pesach. Shabbat Shekalim is the first of the four in the chronological order. It has both a special Haftorah and a special Maftir, along with the regular Parashah. It is always read on the Shabbat prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar, or on Rosh Chodesh Adar when that is a Shabbat, or in leap years prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. There are five verses from Exodus chapter 30. They are verses 11 to 16. Here are the verses and their translations. The translations are really corruptions, as we will see. I'm not going to read the verses in Hebrew. You heard them yesterday if you went to listen to the Torah. And if you didn't, call and I'll put together a reading for those people who missed them. The regular translation. And Hashem spoke unto Moses, saying, I'm suggesting that after you finish reading this page, take the link to his commentary about this very usual / unusual verse from the Tanakh. It is unique in that it is constantly being repeated, sometimes as a standalone verse, and sometimes as a phrase within a verse. It also sometimes has the name Aaron attached to it. It is a verse that begs to be analyzed from a Kabbalistic perspective. When one takes the sum of the children of Israel according to their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto Hashem. When thou numberest them, then there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. What took place during the Shoah? The Germans, their culture is a very methodical, a very logical system. as part of the Western culture, they're greatly admired for this. What happened to the people who went into the concentration camps? They were numbered. Read what the verse says. You want to know why people found themselves in the concentration camps? They spent many generations not doing what this verse suggested. This they shall give everyone that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel that is 20 gerahs, half a shekel for an offering to Hashem. Everyone that passes along among them that are numbered from 20 years old and upward shall give the offering of Hashem. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel which they give when they give the offering of Hashem to make atonement for your souls. Shall take the atonement money from the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before Hashem to make atonement for your souls. Here is the translation that I have done that I recommend for you to consider for a deeper understanding. If one takes from the head of Israel a ransom, one must count the ransom for his soul that each man gives to Hashem to ransom his soul, that there not be a plague among them whenever you count them. They shall give every one that will be connected to the light one half shekel of the holy shekel. The shekel is 20 gerahs, a half shekel for an offering to Hashem. Every clean ones connected to the light over the age of 20 will give Hashem's offering. The important one shall not give more, and the lacking one shall not give less than this half shekel. When making Hashem's contribution, which is a request to forgive their nefesh.
Hi, Saba.
Their soul. Hi, Benjamin. How are you?
I just want to get my grease cup. What pants should I wear? Black ones or gray ones?
Gray ones today.
No, I have practice on Friday. What pants?
These are the pants you're going to wear on Friday?
No, I'm not wearing both of them.
I know. You're going to wear one pair?
Yeah, what color?
On Friday?
What color?
Gray, because it has white in gray. And white is for Shabbat.
No.
Yes.
Okay, black.
You asked, my
friend. No, it has black and white.
Oh, but the string is not enough white. Gray has both black and white, and it's more white.
How about you see black?
Okay. As you can hear, one of my grandsons came to say hello. And I could assess this and have shushed him up, but I don't think that that's appropriate for children. I don't believe or follow that children should be quiet. And I also believe that interruptions in the study of Torah are part of the study of Torah. So if you found this difficult, I apologize to you. But one of the things that we learn about studying Torah is interruptions are meant for our benefit as well. My commentary upon the translation that I just read to you This translation should help you answer the question asked in the emails. If it will be necessary to continue the half-shekel donation after the third temple is revealed, will we still need forgiveness? Here is a copy of what I wrote in the year 5773 in the email discussing shekelim. This Shabbat is the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Adar. During temple times on Rosh Chodesh Adar, there would be an announcement reminder to donate your half shekel to the temple. This money was to be used as an annual census, as well as used towards the temple maintenance. Today, there is a Kabbalistic minhag to donate to your favorite email writer or Kabbalah website the equivalent amount in today's dollars. That is, this year, $17. This money was a requirement during temple times to be donated prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This half shekel was what was counted so that the people were never counted. Hello, Nathan. How are you? This is my two-year-old whose birthday is being celebrated today. Hello? Nathan, you need to go upstairs. I can't watch you and talk on the phone, and I need to talk on the phone. Okay? You go upstairs and see Papa. I'll be up in a few minutes, okay? I love you. You want to say hello to everybody?
Hello!
This money was a requirement during temple times to be donated prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And this is what was counted and how people were counted. And we even need this to do this today, to not count people for the simple spiritual reason that there is no...
What are you talking to?
I'm talking to students of mine. There is no spiritual, there's no blessing that can rest on something that has been counted. This is because when you count something, you put a limitation on that thing. A way to count is to say more than one, more than two, more than three. Another technique that is used is to find a verse, one of your energy verses, that has 10 words in it, and count by using those 10 words. These are the recommendations on how to live a spiritual life. When you count somebody, you are placing a limitation on them. When you fill out the paperwork for the United States Census, it gets counted. And the only way to change that limitation, to reconnect you to the light, is through the donation of the half shekel. Excuse me. Benjamin, don't do that. Close the door.
I can't. Can you take the towel out?
I have a class. I'm in the middle of a class.
What's going on with Benny and me?
Well, Benny's trying to keep... Open the door. Open the door. Benny's trying to keep Nathan out of the bathroom. Thank you, Mike.
Baba.
Yes.
What's better? How do you like the bathroom?
I like him very much. I'll be up in a few minutes. What is the spiritual reason behind this half shekel? There are actually two questions that must be asked in order to understand the spiritual reasons. Question one and its corollary. Why is the amount a half shekel? And why can someone not give more than a half shekel? The second question is answered first. The usual answer given to this question is that we are all equal in the eyes of Hashem. Of course, this is true. Yet there is a deeper understanding than the surface level of these words. Hashem created all of us to reveal His light. Therefore, in the eyes of Hashem, equal means revealing His light. It is not limited to the American understanding of equal being equal under the law, or the limited meaning of equal being equal, right, having a weak equal right to pursue happiness. In the eyes of Hashem, equal means reaching the level where the pursuit of happiness is the effect of being happy. Read that sentence closely. The pursuit of happiness is the process. Everyone pursues happiness. But is the process the goal? Or is the process the effect of being happy? Do you reveal light when you are sad? No, you don't. You cannot reveal light when you're sad. Only when you are pursuing happiness, when you are living in the moment, when you are in the now, as the Buddhists say. When we love the process, we reach the answer to the other question of why it's a half shekel. A shekel is 20 gerah. Gerah is a root that means to initiate, to stimulate, to encourage, and also to provoke. In money, a gerah stimulates additional money. This is why in the physical world it is said that money makes money. A gerah is the smallest coin in the money of the Torah. Smallness implies a lessening of the ego, which allows a greater connection to the Creator. Half a shekel is 10 gerah. This 10 represents the level of the 10 sefirot, which were damaged by any counting. This level of the 10 sefirot, which are not 10, but are 1. A half shekel leads to a full shekel. It is hinting as if one is leading to another one. Then there can be unity among the two. And also a half shekel teaches that we must lead ourselves to help the other half of the shekel. We must realize that we are not alone. There is me, and there is you. Or there is me, and there is Hashem. Since each person is a channel and a tool of Hashem, except for myself. My ego of being a half a shekel keeps me from being unified with Hashem. You experienced an interruption in this study, both by the phone falling apart, not dropping the call, and by three of my grandsons coming to say hello after they had come up, gone for a ride or were at the park. What were they at that moment when they interrupted us? They are Hashem to us. They are angels to us. But how did you perceive them? As angels? As children who needed to be shushed? Who were they to you? where is your consciousness? And this is the purpose behind the Kabbalistic ritual of the donation of a half shekel. I do a ritual of elevating five silver coins. And I charge you $17 for that. 17 is the gematria of Tov, of goodness. The elevation is to remove any blockages that disconnect you from the light. Will that help you in the physical world? Will that help you in the spiritual world? Can you do this by yourself? This is the lesson of donating a half shekel, to realize that we need a community, we need help. We cannot do all things by ourselves, but our connection to the Creator, we can do by ourselves. Someone counted you this year, sometime, I guarantee it. You may not have realized it, but it happened. And you were disconnected from the light by that counting. The donation of the half shekel reconnects you. And this is done better by the before the holiday of Purim, but definitely by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So I will do it twice. I will do the ritual twice. If you have a community who has this approach, physically it would be better for you to do it with them. But if not, the service is available to you. I need to know your name and your father and mother's name. The payment of the $17 can be done as a promise if the $17 is not available at this moment. Utilize the tool, the Kabbalistic ritual. There is me and there is you, or there is me and there is Hashem. Since each person is a channel and a tool of Hashem for the other person. My ego of being half a shekel keeps me from being united or unified with Hashem. Of course, when I unify with another by sharing, I become unified with them, which makes me unified with Hashem. This is the idea of unity within diversity. I added another few paragraphs in the year 5774, and so we will read those as well. I did tell you that this session would be rather long, and it is, but it's important. A question that also needs to be added from the reading of the Maftir is, what is the meaning of a Shekel HaKodesh? A holy shekel. To answer this question, we need to truly understand the concept of money. The meaning of money. We all know that many people find money an item that they worship, as in Avodah Zarah, or idol worship. In that sense, it is not a good thing. People make money the pursuit of the item. Money is what they pursue, not what the essence of money is. They desire money for its own sake, not for what they can do with it in the form of sharing. King Solomon said, and money answers everything. Happiness or enjoyment. We must ask what King Solomon means. In Hebrew, money is kesef, spelled kaf, samach, pei. Kesef, the Talmud tells us, is a coin system. Today it includes banknotes and wire transfers as well. This coin system is a medium of exchange created by a government and supported by the people. If the Kesef loses the support of the people, we get a new government. This has happened many times in history. The coin called the Holy Shem and will never lose the support of the people. Actually, the money in the Torah is indexed to silver. Today, a holy shekel has the value of 8 grams of silver. Below, we will see the relationship from Kesef to silver. Historically, money includes silver coins alongside gold coins. The Talmud discusses the exchange of money for goods. In that discussion, the Aramaic terms used are currency, money, tevi'ah, and goods, pira. Literally, the words for good is the word for fruit. The Talmud asks the question, when one exchanges gold coins for silver coins, or vice versa, which is the money and which is the goods? The answer is gold is goods and silver is money. On a physical level, this is why the shekel is made from silver. As King Solomon said, money answers everything. This is the concept of trade, where a monetary value is put on everything. Therefore, a medium of exchange is created. If someone wants something and is willing to pay for it at the number of coins, a market is created. It is interesting to note that in Gematria, the word for coin plus the word for fruit is equal to the word for chaos. This, in my opinion, is the meaning of King Solomon. Money answers everything, going round and round to create chaos. Kabbalah teaches that silver is chesed, or loving kindness, while gold is giburah, judgment. A spiritual person has a desire for loving kindness over judgment, we are taught. This is the spiritual reason for kesef to be made from silver. Since the desire for loving kindness is money, while the desire for physical goods brings us to judgment. Of course, a human soul cannot be bought, yet Hashem in his mercy allows us to atone with a half shekel of silver. This half shekel being 10 gerar represents the creation of a completed structure of loving kindness. Chesed with 10 levels, or sefirot. This is why we continue to donate the half shekel, even while the temple appears to be destroyed. This donation connects us to the loving kindness of Hashem. Since Hashem is perfect, and his nature is loving kindness, or sharing. In practice, the Ashkenazim follow the practice of mourning for the temple and do not avail themselves of this mitzvah. The Sephardim do not donate the half shekel. The present value of a half shekel, 8 grams of silver, is approaching $22. Yet in the interest of a merchant, we discount this to $17. So as to entice some people to donate their tzedakah to this practice and help themselves. It is a common practice to make this donation prior to Purim. Of course, it can be made any time prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That is why I will do this action twice. Once the night of Purim, and once Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If you are reading this after Purim and before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we at Yashem will still do this ritual of raising the 5 silver coins one for each world from Malchut to Keter, five times. The result is we are connecting or reconnecting the soul of that person to Hashem. That's why I need the name, your name, and your parents' name. Please, for your own sake, consider doing this ritual or allowing Hashem to do this so by making the discounted tzedakah of $17 per person. Just send us the person's name and his parents' names. The donation to the temple allows me to become united with Hashem because the effect of these donations improves the physical structure of the temple. But it helps you to build the temple within yourself. As the verses say, Moses told the people, anyone who wishes to bring a donation may do so. When the third temple is revealed, will the half shekel donation still be required? I believe I've answered this question, but if not, you can send me a question about it, and I'll answer it on our Wednesday classes. In an email from last year, I asked, how does the half shekel relate to both Purim and Nisan? The reason appears to be separate, but is really the same reason. Nisan is the new year of the kings. For most people, this means that they started to count the years of the reign of a king on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This relates to someone being elevated to being king in Israel in the month of Adar. The king would start his second year on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, even if he had not completed a full 12 months for his first year. This is one of the reasons that the historical classification and calculation of years is so complex. This is how the half shekel relates to Nisan. Below, we explain how it relates to Purim. In the Megillah Esther, the revelation of the concealed Haman paid 10,000 golden shekels in order for his plan to kill all the Jews be approved by King Ahasuerus. Later, the Megillah hints that Mordechai found it necessary to bribe the king to send out the protection plan. The Midrash teaches that this payment was made from the half shekels that the Sephardic community made then and still make today. Also, the Midrash explains that the mistake that the Jews made that caused Haman's plan to be accepted in the upper worlds was going to the 6 months of partying where Ahasuerus took out his spoils of war, like the clothing of the high priest from the temple, and other items like the menorah and the table. By not objecting to these displays, they incurred the death penalty, and by using the half-shekel donation, they atoned for their mistake and returned to Hashem. What about the Haftorah? The Haftorah is 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 17 to chapter 12, verse 17. In the scrolls, this is essentially two paragraphs. Spaces create paragraphs in the scrolls. The simple story was included within it, a change in the way the half shekel offering was collected and accounted for. We don't have the temple, but we still need to atone. We need atonement for our nefesh, for our animal soul that causes us to make all those mistakes we make during the year that we don't even realize. Does anyone have a question? I'm going to change the controls. You should be able to just speak out and ask your questions unless you press your own star six. So if I'm not hearing you and what you want to ask a question, please press star six.
What was the letter associated? What was the letter associated with the word fire?
Shin is associated with fire.
Shin?
Think of it in terms of passion.
Thank you.
The four elements are air. Air, which is an aleph. Water, which is a mem. Earth, which is teva, or tevila, which is a taf. And shin, which is fire. And so it spells the word emet with the shin being in addition. She emet means the passion or the fire of truth, the search for truth. That's one of the names of Torah. That's one of the motivations to study Torah, to search for truth.
Thank you. Is it possible to get your address for mailing checks back and forth?
Sure. My current address is in Atlanta with my grandchildren. Send it to Henry Bornstein or Chanoch Ben Yaakov. It doesn't matter which name. The address is 5109. Give me a minute to remember the street. I have to look it up. Please hold.
Thank you.
Lake Springs Drive. 5109 Lake Springs Drive. Lake Springs is one word. The city is Dunwoody, D-U-N-W-O-O-D-Y, Georgia. The zip code is 30338.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions? I will just remember, sometimes people ask me to do a half a shekel for their children or their grandchildren. And it is feasible to do it for family. It is better for people to know because their consciousness impacts the unity. Any other questions? Classes this week, Monday at 7 will be a class on the Hebrew letters Tzadi. Tuesday at 7 will be a continuation of our advanced reincarnation classes. Wednesday at 7 is our question and an answer period. Thursday will be the Zohar class. And next Saturday night at 7 will be a Zohar class for the Parashah of Tetzaveh. Not a Parashah, but a Zohar class. Remember, this Thursday is our Rosh Chodesh connection at 7 p.m. So it will not really be the Zohar class. Any other questions? Have a beautiful Sunday, a beautiful week. I look forward to hearing from you all. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.